friends, if you have your Bible, turn with me now to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, we will take up our study this morning in the book of Ephesians in chapter 6, verse 1, and we will go down to the end of verse 3. Ephesians chapter 6, beginning at verse 1, down to verse 3. The title of this morning's sermon, Honor Your Parents. Honor your parents. Ephesians chapter 6, beginning at verse 1, let's read down to the end of verse 3. My friends, these are the words of the living God. God Almighty says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you, and that you may live long in the land. Dear ones, this is the word of God. Thanks be to God. Let's pray together. Our gracious Father, thank you. And when we look to you, we see what true, perfect fatherhood looks like. Father, you have so loved us, your dear children. And though we are sinners by nature and rebels from the heart, Lord, you have chosen of your sovereign grace to redeem us in your Son and to adopt us into your holy family, that we may know you, love you, and serve you forever. And Father, you have set Christ, our Lord, at your right hand. And dear Jesus, as we submit to you as our Savior and our King, we know, Lord Jesus, that you have also instituted authorities in our lives, differing authorities, and these authorities are all under your absolute, ultimate authority. Teach us, Lord Jesus, in reverence for you, how to honor those in authority over us, especially our parents. We pray that as children we would give due honor and reverence to our parents. We pray that as parents we might love and care for our children and instruct them in the way of godliness. Lord, we pray that as a church we would be those who nurture children in the love of you, O God, and that they would hear your word of grace. We pray, dear Father, that you would bless this time as again we hear the call to honor our parents in reverence, Father, for your dear Son. Dear Spirit, help us. We know that we can understand nothing apart from you. Dear Spirit, guard me from error, that, Lord, I may speak only what is true. For, dear Spirit, it is only by your ministry and only by your presence that your people are fed faithfully from your word. Father, have mercy on your church, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Honor your parents. Friends, here's our thesis. Give to your parents the honor which is their due from God, beginning with obedience out of reverence for Christ. Friends, when I was a boy, my parents made a point that I was to learn to say, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, and yes, sir, and no, sir. These were protocols, these were formal addresses that were taught to me from the time I was able to speak. And it became part of just the way that I addressed other people. And the way it was communicated to me was this. My mom and dad would say, when you meet a man that's older than you, especially an adult, no matter how old or young, if they're an adult, you say, yes, sir, or no, sir, in response to a question. The same is true when you meet a lady. You will say yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am. And I didn't understand what my parents meant by that. In our society, that's very southern. It's a very southern thing to say yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am. But I want you to say that what that did for me, and what I've seen that's done for other children, is that it instills within us a sort of instinct to show respect, to show honor, and to give to those what is their due. And in that sense, I was hardwired. God, by His grace, used that to teach me that there are people in my life who are deserving of respect, deserving of honor, deserving of my giving due obedience to, whether it's teachers or principals or policemen, whether it's my parents or grandparents, whether it's other men and women in the church. But these principles were said with that simple yes, sir, and no, sir. What I want to set before you, friends, is that what Paul is addressing here in Ephesians chapter 6 is that there are authorities in our lives. And particularly as children, we are to give obedience, to give reverence to our parents. And this begins when we are children in the home, under the care, the supervision, and the governance of our fathers and mothers. And this honor, though it changes as we grow into adulthood and as our parents age, we are still called to give to them the honor, the respect that is their due from God. And it's not contingent upon whether they're a good parent or a bad parent. It's not contingent on whether they treat us well or treat us badly. But it is their due from God. And as we give respect and as we give honor, God promises to bless. He promises to uphold. He promises to keep us. So in Ephesians 6, again, context, friends, we recall that in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21, we had the sort of governing thesis of this part of Paul's letter, where Paul commends us to submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. So as believers, as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, as His disciples, we are submitting first to Jesus as our sovereign and our Savior. This is Article 1. As we repent and believe upon Christ, Christ is Lord and boss of our lives, and we submit to Him. In reverence for Him, therefore, we begin to submit to those proper authorities in our lives that have been instituted by God. And what this implies, friends, is that there is proper authority. You know, in our lives, in our culture, authority has a bad rap. And we think in terms of power corrupting. We have, you know, maxims in our own language. Absolute power corrupts. Absolutely. And we know the danger of concentrating too much power in one individual. But dear ones, in the ultimate sense, when we look at God and how He wields His absolute sovereign authority, God wields His absolute authority in perfect holiness and justice. And by this sovereign authority wielded in grace, there is blessing for those under His authority. And this gives us the paradigm. Christ rules the world and rules His church for the blessing and the good of those whom He governs. And we see this played out in our relationships. That God gave authority to husbands so that they could govern their homes in the fear of God and thus love and cherish their wives and care for their children. They're modeling Christ, even as the wife is submitting first to Christ and then to the rule of their husband, their own husband, because they are modeling the church. We saw how marriage is a picture of Christ in the church. Now in Ephesians 6:1, Paul turns to another group within the church at Ephesus. Remember that these letters were read. Just like we read the scriptures every morning, these scriptures were read. These were circular letters that were to go to the churches around Ephesus. And as the church, the Nicene Christian church, were gathering for worship on Sunday, they would gather and they would read these letters. So you can imagine the church at Ephesus. They just received this letter from Paul in prison. Here he sent this letter to them from his prison in Rome, and they are hearing this letter. And this letter is being read by the elders, being read by those who are teaching in the church. And as this letter is being read, Paul is addressing those who need to be in the corporate worship of God's people. And he addresses children. Friends, what's implied in here is that children must be active participants in the corporate worship of the people of God. And that's why I'm so thrilled when I see children, babies, young toddlers, youth, all gathering, at least for a time and portion of corporate worship. Because remember this, looking at verse 1 of chapter 6, Paul is addressing children. Yes, he will imply the implication for adult children, for children that are outside the home. But make no mistake, this first admonition is directed at children who are under their parents' care. Children need to hear the Word of God. Children need to hear the songs of God's people sung. Children need to hear the church praying together. Children need to be in fellowship with the people of God. And friends, what this means is that we need to understand that as a church, we have to have a different attitude towards children. You know, friends, it's one thing for us to want a kind of calm environment to listen. I listen better when things are quiet, right? I listen better when things are calm. But friends, if we understand the apostolic admonition, we have to understand that children need to hear. And if they're here and listening, that's going to mean that there will be fidgeting. There will be children that need to learn how to sit, how to listen, how to learn. So, as a church, we're saying, okay, Paul is commending children being active participants in the worship of God's people. And this means, one, children, you need to be active participants. Kiddos, being in corporate worship doesn't mean being on an iPhone. It doesn't mean drawing. It means being listening to what's being taught, listening and trying to put in your mind what's being said and apply it to your life. Friends, we have the same expectations for kids when they're in school. Why, when you send your children to school and he's sitting in the classroom listening to his teacher, the teacher wants him to pay attention, to listen, and to learn. And we're instilling the same value, the same principles when it comes to corporate worship. Friends, so often we want to partition kids off. We want to send them to children's church. We want to send them to this. And there's value in that. There's a value for nursery ministry. There are times where a child is just too young, they can't think and pay attention. And those ministries are necessary. But when a child begins to mature, as they're learning how to sit and listen, as parents we're saying, okay, son, all right, daughter, we were here in Sunday morning. I want you to think carefully. What's being sung? What hymns are we singing? What scriptures are we reading? What did the pastor talk about? What are some themes, some takeaways that you learned today? Dear friends, if we are to train our children to be active participants in corporate worship, we have to be willing to have those conversations. And friends, there will come a time where there will be children that aren't part of a family unit that come. By God's grace here at Jenny Lind, we've had the opportunity to minister to many spiritually orphaned children. What that means, friends, is that as a church, we make the commitment that we are going to adopt spiritually some of these children that don't have their parents with them in corporate Sunday morning worship. They'll sit with us, and we'll walk through the same things with them. Listen. Try and understand what the preacher's saying. Try and apply it to your life. Think about the hymns we're saying. Engaging in the corporate worship of God's people. Friends, if we don't do this, what we'll have is a generation that will rise up and have no connection with the church. They went up in nursery and in children's ministry and in youth ministry, and when they graduated college, they had no connection with the church because they were never in church. They were never with the people of God. They were never listening to sermons. They were never trying to apply the Word of God to their lives. Friends, these ministries have their place. And they have their function. But I want you to see that the Apostle Paul is saying children are in and active participants with the corporate worship of God's people. So friends, let's make that a priority in our own families.
and in our own church that we are a church culture that is glad to have children. Even if it means a little extra noise, we're glad that they're there because they need to hear. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Because, friends, if children aren't active participants in Sunday morning worship, they don't hear these commands. Obey your parents. Kiddos, did you know that God commands you to obey your parents? He commands you to do what they say. Obey your parents in the Lord. What does this mean? Well, it means, friends, obedience to your parents comes at your first understanding their rightful authority from the Lord. Dear children, your parents are given to you by God. God gave you a mom and a dad. He gave you these parental authorities in your life, whether they're a grandmother or a grandfather. And to them, we owe obedience. Now, that obedience is in the Lord. So that means the authority that your parents wield is ultimately sourced in the Lord Jesus Christ and is accountable to Him. That also means, kiddos, if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, if you're calling upon Him as your Savior and King, you are giving to them obedience, to your parents, because you are first submitting to Christ. Now, this obeying your parents in the Lord does mean that parents don't have absolute tyrannical rule over their home. Friends, all authority is from God, and all authority is accountable to God. Right? So, when we talk about parental authority, we're saying that that authority is sourced in the Lord Jesus Christ and is accountable to Christ. Some kiddos, some of you might have unbelieving parents. Some of you might have fathers and mothers that don't believe in Christ. Some of you might have parents who are actively resistant to your desire to obey Christ, to gather on Sunday mornings, to serve Him. Friends, in that respect, if your parent forbids you from coming to worship Christ or speaking of Him openly or loving and praying Him, friends, that parent is misusing that authority. Because ultimately we are in submission to Christ. So friends, as children, obey your parents in the Lord. Look at their commands, look at their precepts. Friends, most of you children are given commands that are in no way contradictory to the Word of God. So if your mom and dad say, clean your room, God says, you need to obey your parents and clean your room. You need to do these things because they are in authority over you. So friends, remember the principle. We are in submission to Christ, and in reverence for Him, we give due obedience to our parents as to Christ. So that's the principle. Kiddos, what that means also is that if you disobey your parents and you rebel against their rule, you're not only rebelling against your parents, but you're also rebelling against Christ. If you disobey your parents, you're not only disobeying them, but you're also rejecting your Father in heaven who loves and rules over you. Dear friends, the Christian is to be the model of obedience to his parents and to give that obedience as unto the Lord. Notice the rationale, verse 6, for this is right. Friends, knowing that this obedience is just and good in the sight of God. It is just and good in the sight of God for parents, for children to give to their parents due obedience. God says this is right. You know, friends, we live in a time where children, for the most part, and again, this is the scene looking in, but the center of the life is the kiddo. When it comes to the family, you know, everything kind of orients around what the kiddo has, what the kiddo's going on. And that's good. We want to give, you know, we want to care for our children. We want to give them what they need. But friends, this, God says, is right. It is good and pleasing in His sight when children obey their parents in the Lord. And so parents, it's not wrong to insist on that. It's not wrong to say to your child, you need to do this because I say so. Yes, you can give reasons, and you want to give reasons, but at the end of the day, God has given you the authority, father, mother, to rule, to govern for the good and blessing of your child. So friends, Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. It is pleasing and acceptable to God when children obey their parents. Knowing this, friends, that your Lord Jesus Christ was in perfect obedience to his Father. It was the delight of the Lord Jesus to come into this world and to obey every command that his Father gave to him. When the Lord Jesus was tempted in the wilderness to turn the stones into bread and to ease his hunger, what did Jesus say? Jesus said, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Jesus was saying, oh Satan, even though I am hungry in body, even though I am literally starving to death, what is more needful for me, what is more nourishing to me is the word of my Father. To hear and to heed his commands is true spiritual nourishment to me. Jesus said his bread and his meat was to do the will of his Father in heaven. And because Jesus was obedient unto death upon the cross, he paid the price for our disobedience. Because, friends, we have all, at some respect and at some point, been disobedient to our parents, rebellious against their rule and authority. And friends, this might mean we're looking back 30, 40, 50 years, but make no mistake. We have all been those who have been disobedient to our parents. And for that we bring the wrath of God. For that we bring the judgment of God. But Christ, by his perfect obedience, atoned for that sin by suffering on the cross in our place. And his obedience is credited to all those who trust in him. And now, dear friends, as those who are believers in the Lord Jesus, as we submit to Christ, we recognize that we, as children, under our parents' rule, give to them their due. Friends, know that obedience to parents is just and good in the sight of God. Now, in verse 2, Paul quotes out of the book of Exodus, Exodus chapter 20, verse 12, he quotes out of the Decalogue, the Ten Commandments. Verse 2 says, honor your father and mother. Very simple, very straightforward. This is the commandment with a promise. This is the first commandment with a promise. Verse 3, that may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Friends, as the Ten Commandments, we talk the Ten Commandments as having two tables. The first four commandments are one table. Commandments 6 to 10 are the second table. And the reason we make that distinction is because there's a certain trajectory or a certain direction to these commandments. The first four principally deal with our relationship to God. How man is to relate to God. How the people of God are to relate to their Lord and Savior. The second table is looking horizontally, primarily, at how we react and how we deal with other people. And one of those first, that first relational commandment has to deal with fathers and mothers. Honor your father and mother. Now this word honor means to give due value. That word in the Greek, the word means to set a price or value to something. We see this in the book of Matthew. In the book of Matthew, the chief priests, scribes, and ruling council considered Jesus of such little value that they offered to Judas 30 pieces of silver, the price of a slave, a little money enough to buy the potter's field for a burial place. But was nowhere near his real worth. So, friends, these chief priests and scribes value Jesus so little, they would give a pittance for Judas to betray him. Dear friends, that word to honor means to value. We value our parents. We set their value, friends. And notice that this doesn't have qualifiers. Honoring your father and mother does not have a condition to meet. Nor does the law of God declare that as children we are to only value our parents if they are good to us. No, friends, we value our father and mother as those who have been entrusted with authority from God to raise us up in the discipline and admonition of the Lord. Friends, many of you may not have great parents. Many of you might have parents that have been downright terrible. But this command is still for you. and still for us. We honor our father and mother because of who they are. The parents that God has given to us. We love them. We respect them. And this persists all throughout our adult lives. So dear ones, as you grow older, your parents grow older. And some of you know that pretty well. Your parents grow older and they start to feel the decay of sin. And so when you were a teenager, honoring your parent meant obeying their commands, being home at curfew, cleaning your room, doing those things that they asked of you. But when you get older, it becomes harder. Now honoring your parent looks like, how do I make sure that they have enough food to eat? How do I make sure that they're taken care of when I have to run errands here or there? Honoring your parents, friends, as you get older, may involve very hard choices. But what is to keep in mind, what Paul is meaning here, as he quotes the Decalogue, as he quotes his command, is that we are to value highly our parents as those whom God has given to us and entrusted with authority to raise us in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. And even if they have been miserable failures in that, that doesn't dislodge our calling to give them due honor and respect. Honor your father and your mother. Always value them for who they are to you from God. Honor your father and your mother. Dear ones, value your parents highly and respect them as God's gift, and do so as you treasure God's promise to bless those who honor their parents. This is the first commandment of the promise. See, friends, God is so good. God is so good. And when He gives these commands, remember that when God commands something, He commands it for our good. Right? He gives commands because He loves us. He gives instruction because He wants what's best for us. God set the terms of His covenant so that we would know what it means to be in a relationship with Him and a relationship with others. God set the terms. He set the precepts and commands. They come out of His own holy character. They are given for our good. And they all have blessing insofar as we obey, God promises to bless. But this blessing is made explicit. It's given a promise. God promises to bless. So treasure that, friends, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. That it may go well with you. Friends, God's wrath burns against those who dishonor their parents. God's indignation burns against those who are disobedient and rebellious against their parents. Those who refuse to care for their parents, God said that is a terrible and wicked thing. And the contrast is for those who honor their parents, who love them, who care for them in their need as they age or sickness lays hold, God says that it goes well. Remember, friends, God gave to Israel the promised land. The promised land was theirs to inherit because God made a covenant with Abraham. But God said that the conditions of their enjoyment of this land was based on their obedience to Him. As they would keep His commands, they would live long in the land and prosper. But if they rebelled against His word, He would send them into exile and cast them out of the land. God's saying disobedience to parents is serious. But He's also saying there's great blessing for those who will honor their parents. Who in reverence for Him and for reverence for Christ will honor their parents. It will go well with you. Dear friends, there is blessing for those who honor their parents. And we can see this in part. Dear ones, some of the healthiest families that we know of, our parents, our families, where we see these principles in place. Some of the families that we love so dearly, families that we see are so strong and healthy, or where children are obeying and honoring their parents, and parents are exercising godly authority and the fear of God in their homes. We see that blessing as generation after generation is cultivated and nurtured
in love and in grace.
Friends, there is great blessing for us and for our children,
as in the fear of the Lord we honor our parents. On the one hand, God warns of his wrath against those who are disobedient to their parents, but promises blessing.
Dear friends, that you may live long in the land. Again, it goes in verse 3, we see that this is referencing to the people of Israel and their dwelling in the promised land.
Remember, as the people obeyed their parents and gave them honor and reverence, what they were doing is they were bearing witness to the condition of their heart. As they were believing in the Lord their God, and they were receiving his promise, and they were looking by faith to his promises of redemption, as they were striving to love and to honor the Lord, that living faith was evidenced in their love for their parents. So friends, if you love Christ, you will honor your parents. This is good in the sight of God. God promises blessing. God promises to nurture. God promises to care for his people. You may live long in the land. Friends, wonder at God's gracious and kind hand upon his obedient people. God is gracious to an obedient people, to a people who, as they submit to Christ, also give due honor to their parents. Now again, in closing, friends, some of you are young children under your parents' authority in your parents' home. One, you need to be in public worship. You need to honor your parents and to keep their commands, understanding that in reverence for Christ, you are giving them due honor and respect. Adult children, as you are thinking about what it means to honor your parents now, remember the position that they had. Remember what was entrusted to them. They were entrusted with authority to care for you. And even if they did it poorly, they are worthy of your respect. And many of them did it very well. So love them, honor them, respect them, care for them in their need, and do so out of reverence for Christ. And know, friends, that God promises to bless. God promises to bless his people as they are obedient to him. But as I said at the beginning, friends, all of us have been disobedient to parents. All of us have rejected God and have rebelled against his rule. And dear friends, because of this, the wrath of God falls on each one of us. But there is one who has been perfect in obedience, one with whom it has gone well, and one who has inherited the promise of life eternal, and that is Jesus Christ. Dear friends, we cannot truly honor our parents in a way that is pleasing to God unless we come to Christ. Unless we are born again unto faith in Christ, friends, even if we are caring for our families and their material need, we are not doing so from a heart that truly loves God. Friends, the way we truly honor our parents is by caring for them in reverence for Christ. So, dear friends, I pray today that you are trusting in Christ. I pray that you are looking to him first and foremost as the governor of your family. My prayer for you is that you would ask the Lord Jesus to send his Spirit to give you wisdom, dear children, to honor your parents, and wisdom as parents to care for your children. Because, friends, we can't do this on our own. This is a high bar that God sets before us. We need his grace. We need his power. We need the Spirit to come and awaken us to the God-given responsibilities that we have, joy that comes as we're obedient to Christ. So let's submit our families to Christ. Let's pray for our children. Children, let's pray for our parents, and let our homes be testimonies to the reconciled life that is in Christ alone. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you do reconcile sinners to yourself in Christ. Lord Jesus, teach us to honor our parents, to give to them reverence, to give to them obedience, to honor them, Lord. We pray, Father, for all the families in our church. Lord, we pray that we would love to have children with us, and we would see the joy of raising up another generation, Lord,
who by your grace will be born again to trust and follow Christ. Father, have mercy upon our children, the parents of our church, Lord. Know that this is a heavy task. It is only by your grace, O God, that we will be able to do what you have called us to do. So, Father, when we see the gravity of the command, Lord, we respond as Augustine did. O Lord, command what you will, give what you command. Lord, you command us to be holy as you are holy. Lord, make us holy in your dear Son. Father, we may first honor you, we may love our parents, and we may bear witness to the truth of your grace to a lost and dying world. Father, all this we ask in Jesus' name.